Can we read in 1 Corinthians 1? 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is God's power. The last chapter of Galatians, Galatians 6, verse 14. But far be it from me to boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. A number of years ago, there was a man on holiday abroad, and he couldn't sleep one night, and he got up to go for a swim in the hotel pool. Climbed the diving board. It was a beautiful moonlit night. Moon was up behind him. And he got to the top of the board and he stretched out his hands like this before he dived. And the image of the cross was projected on the wall behind the pool. And he saw it and he was troubled. And he came down the steps, discovered that the pool had been drained for maintenance. It was the means of his conversion, to trust in the one who hung on that cross. I wonder where you stand tonight in relation to the cross. The shadow of the cross lies upon the world. The shadow of the cross. Paul speaks of the scandal of the cross. I would like for a few moments tonight to bring you to the cross of Christ. I don't know where you stand in relation to the cross. I don't know what you think about it. But I'd like you to listen just for a few minutes. It may be foolishness to you, but I can assure you that it's God's power to salvation to those who believe in the one who hung on that cross. You know, I wonder what category you fit into. There were various people at the cross of Christ. His mother was there, and the woman, and John. Persons who loved the Lord. Simeon, you know, said to Mary that a sword will go through your soul. That happened at Calvary's cross when she saw the Lord hang there suffering. A sword went through her soul. These were persons who loved the Lord. There were the soldiers there to see that the rule of law was upheld. Indifferent, perhaps. Just another crucifixion. The Romans crucified thousands of men. They once lined the up and way from Rome to Naples with crucified slaves after an uprising. Just another crucifixion. Except for one that we know for sure, who when he saw Jesus die said, "Truly this man was Son of God." That man had seen many people die, but he'd never seen anybody die like Jesus. Man didn't take his life. Death never overtook him, as it will overtake you and I. Even Methuselah, death overtook him. But it never overtook my Saviour. Death comes upon us because of sin. Anybody here not a sinner? David was telling us of a person this morning who had no consciousness of sin. Thought that she'd never, ever sinned. I don't know everybody intimately in this room, but I know that you're a sinner because the Bible tells me you're a sinner. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, people don't like to be a failure. It's a great thing in the world to be a success and get on in life. But you know, we're actually all failures. We don't match up. We've come short of the glory of God. And death is passed upon all, for all have sinned, therefore death will overtake you, my friend. But the Lord Jesus gave up his life. He gave it up. What the centurion was so impressed by was that he cried with a loud voice. Now, his crucifixion generally involves suffocation, and a person slowly weakens and then can't breathe. It's a dreadful death. But the Lord cried with a loud voice and delivered up his spirit. And that man was affected. Maybe you're like those who pass by scoffing. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, said Jeremiah the prophet? Is it nothing? What does it mean to you? Behold and see if there be sorrow like unto my sorrow, whom the Lord has afflicted in the day of his fierce anger. What does it mean to you, the cross of Christ? You know, when I come to the cross, I come to an understanding of the depths of divine love. I couldn't have appreciated what lay in God's heart towards me as a sinner apart from the cross. Think of the Lord saying, you know, for God so loved the world. The strength of that love, he knew it, that he gave his only begotten Son. Think of the Lord using these words. He was the Son that was to be given before that love could be expressed, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have life eternal. You know, I remember hearing of a man called Willie Gilfillan, who ran with the Glasgow gangs, carried a knife, and he wandered into a gospel hall one night, and he heard the preacher speaking about the love of God and John 3:16. And he shouted out, God doesn't love anybody. And the preacher said, who knew the man, knew the young man, he said, for God so loved Willie Gilfillan that he gave his only begotten Son, that Willie Gilfillan should not perish but have life eternal. And that young man gave his heart to Christ and became a missionary. You know, he called it after that the Lord told him he was to go to French New Guinea. And he said, Lord, I can't even speak English, never mind French. But the Lord gave him French, and he became a real servant of the Lord. There are countless stories of persons who've come to Christ, you know. I was reading on holiday in Italy about the Tay Bridge disaster in 1887. A major disaster in which 75 souls lost their lives on that stormy night on the train going to Dundee. Do you know, in the last station before the bridge, there was a man standing drunk. And as the train came into the station, his hat blew off in the fierce wind. And as he staggered about to try and find his hat, the train moved off and onto the bridge and plunged into the sea. And that man became a great preacher of the glad tidings in Dundee. The mercy of God. You know, grace is the greatest power in the universe. Man thinks he has great power, but the grace of God is the greatest power in the universe. It was the grace of God that placed that thief next to the only man that could save him in his dying moments, you know. What a trophy of grace he was. Love to think of him, you know. They both railed at the Saviour, didn't they? Both of them. How thankful we are for Luke's account, you know. The light of who Jesus was flooded his soul in the dying moments of his life. We indeed justly, repentance towards God, but this man has done nothing amiss. Faith in Christ. These are the things that you need to be saved tonight. Repentance towards God and faith in Christ. The blessing lies in the man who hung on Calvary's cross. The man in the middle is the man for me. What does the cross of Christ mean to you, my friend? It was there my Saviour suffered and tasted death for me. The one who made peace by the blood of his cross. You can't make peace with God. How could you make peace with God? He has done it. He has done it. People speak about making their peace with God. But you know, all you can do is accept Christ as the one who has made peace by the blood of his cross. What a Saviour Jesus is, you know. Maybe he's waiting on someone in this room tonight. Maybe you've heard the gospel before. Well, the appeal is going out again. Come to me, all ye who weary and are labour and are burdened, and I will give you rest. How can you have rest and peace in your soul tonight? Only through trusting in the one who hung on Calvary's cross, made peace by the blood of his cross. You know, everything that was due to me as a sinner was taken on by Jesus. You know, that life in all its perfection had to be given up in death. There was no life like the life of Jesus. Have you ever considered the fact that God has studied your life? Your life has been studied. And God's grace has followed you through your life. Think of that. Think of God's grace following a man through his life. God's grace followed you in that door. But your life has been so different from the life of Christ. You know, his death was not a consequence of his life like yours and mine will be. But his death was the purpose of his life. That's why he came. That's why he came. He came into the human condition in order that he might redeem those who were lost to God. You know, you speak about doing nothing, not being an option. And that's the case tonight. Doing nothing is not an option. Because if you don't have a link with Christ as Saviour, you're going to a Christless eternity. You are lost. And the only way you can be saved tonight is through coming to Christ. Doing nothing is not an option. Thank God for all who can see Christ, for my soul has suffered. Yes, Christ has done it all. nothing left to do. Think of these closing scenes of the Lord's life. How affecting the sufferings of Christ are. Think of the way that he was treated by men, and yet he received it from the Father. That hymn writer could see the wormwood and the gall directly from thy Father. Thou didst accept it all. The sufferings of Christ are calculated to affect us because they were occasioned on our behalf. Think of how men treated them. Think of these stripes. Think of that crown of thorns. We spoke of the majesty of Christ. The crown of thorns and the purple robe. It says Jesus, John says, Jesus going forth. Going forth. Think of the dignity of Christ as he went forth with the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Never were things given with such derision, but worn with such dignity. Who was there? The King of Kings. That's who was there. Who was standing before Pilate, the King of Kings. You know, Pilate will stand before Christ one day. There was never a man had a more powerful testimony rendered to him than Pontius Pilate. He knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that. Was he a greater sinner than you? It doesn't matter how great a sinner you are, you know. Think of these Nazis. Condemned so many people to death and the atrocities that were carried out. Many of these men gave their heart to Christ. Just think of it. There's no sinner too great for the Saviour. His blood can cleanse the vilest. Whether you're a 50 pence debtor or a 500 pence debtor, you've nothing to pay. Nothing. You can't offer one thing. God knows that. Freely forgave them, and they had nothing to pay. Look now to Jesus Christ and live. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? That blood is available for you. It was available for that soldier who pierced the side of my Lord. Think of that. Was it in hatred? Why did he do it? We don't know. But the answer of the love of God was the blood of Jesus, flowing freely from the side of Christ, available for him, available for you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What are you relying on tonight? Your own self-righteousness. You know, the cross marked a turning point in God's dealings with man. Complete turning point. It's been said the cross stands at the centre of eternity. Up until the cross, God was prepared to go on with man after the flesh. But you know, that man was finished completely at Calvary. Finished completely. God isn't looking for anything from man after the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh in his own Son. The very best of flesh was offered up on Calvary's cross for you and I. Oh, the cross of Christ is wondrous. It exposed the heart of man, you know. That's what it did. It exposed man's heart. But it told out the heart of God as well. The love of God that lay in his heart for his creature, pent up as it was, because there was no way of expressing it until Jesus came. God had no way of expressing his love. But I look at the cross and I see the greatest display of love that the world has ever seen. That's why it's precious to me. It's precious, the cross of Christ. Have you come before? Won't you come to the cross tonight, you know? That's where Christian lost his burden, was at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my sins was rolled away. These old hymns, you know, are great, aren't they? The outpouring of experience with the Lord. He was stretched out on the cross, and nails were driven through his hands and his feet. Think of these hands and the blessing that they had brought to thousands. Think of these feet and the errands of mercy that they had run. That he must needs pass through Samaria. Why? Because there was a woman in Samaria that needed him, that needed Christ. Dear friend, you need Christ. You need him. These hands and feet nailed to the cross, they could run no more errands of mercy. He could bless no more. What could he do? He could pray for them. As he was lifted up, and the agony swept over his body, as it would, as it hung down on these nails. Men used to curse and to swear. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, I think of that thief. I don't want to be fanciful, but I think he must have heard the Lord say that. Father, forgive them. How often has that prayer been answered? It was answered in my case. Have you surrendered to Christ? He's willing to forgive you if you'll come to him tonight in repentance. Father, forgive them. Well, the words from the cross, I've not got time to go into them. I spoke too long last night. But they're very important. If you look at the seven words that the Lord uttered on the cross, it's very touching, very feeling. Even to the care of his mother. Think of the awfulness of what he was going through and what he suffered as he hung there, and yet he could care for his mother. Behold thy mother, behold thy son. But you know, we can take account of his sufferings at the hands of men, but what we can't take account of are his sufferings at the hand of a holy and righteous God. God clothed the scene in darkness. Men were not permitted to look on the vicarious sufferings of Christ as he suffered there, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Whole mother of sin and sins gone into, the root cause dealt with, and the sins themselves dealt with. All our sins, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, every single one. You couldn't have peace in your heart tonight if you thought there was one sin that he didn't know about. But every single one, all written down, you know. You thought about that? Everything you've done written down. God keeps immaculate books. You know, at the great white throne, the book of life is opened. Think of that. The dead, great and small, lined up before Christ as the judge. And the book of life is open to check if there's anybody there, name, in the book of life. Of course there is no one. Think of that happening. Is your name written there, in these pages bright and fair? Is your name written in the book of life? The day you give your heart to Christ, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, never to be blotted out. All washed away in the blood of Christ. Did you know every sin had to be dealt with? Every single one. That's what happened in the 3 hours of darkness and Calvary's cross. I can't go into it. I shall praise my Saviour eternally for what he did then for me. He suffered for sins that I don't even remember. But I know that he cleared me completely in the sight of a holy and righteous God. I know that my guilt was borne by Jesus when alone at Calvary. I know that my sins, not in part, but the whole, are gone. Why? Because they were borne by Jesus. Have you got that assurance in your heart? Can you claim that finished work for yourself? Can you say, "'Twas there my Saviour suffered and tasted death for me"? No blessing like trusting in the Lord Jesus. There's no way of salvation. You know, we have a man who comes into the nursery quite a lot. His mother was in the open meeting in Kilwinning. His father gave up Christianity. I don't know. In a sense, you can't give up Christianity, because if you're ever saved, you're saved for eternity. But he gave it up. That's what the man said. He gave it up. And he was telling us he knows the scriptures. He can quote the scriptures to you. He knows about the Lord. He knows about salvation. But he was telling us last week he thinks there's many ways to reach God. How solemn. There's only one divinely appointed way. Salvation is in none other. And it's in the man who hung on Calvary's cross. Neither is there another name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. Are you trusting in the one who hung on Calvary's cross? Well, I commend my Saviour to you. He's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in death. Think of loving hands taking the Lord down. Think of how unusual that would have been. Do you know what they usually did? They cut the ropes and let the body drop into the hole at the bottom of the cross. That's what they usually did. But two men, Joseph and Nicodemus, took the Lord's body down from the cross. What a witness that was. And what a price Joseph of Arimathea paid for that. What a price he paid. I'm not going into that. But they took the body of the Lord down. Not a bone of his was broken. Think of the tender way that body was cared for. That body in which the Godhead had been resident. That's what it was. Laid in a tomb. Joseph's tomb. Hewed for himself. Given up for Christ. But it couldn't be holden of death. He went into death. He went into that realm. He took the sting of death away. If you trust him, you'll never know what the sting of death is. But it was real for the Lord. But he comes out triumphant. A risen, glorious Saviour. Adequate witness to the resurrection of Jesus. As Christ is not raised, you're still in your sins. There's no point in preaching the gospel if Christ is not raised. Precious truth of the glad tidings is that Christ Jesus is alive, whom Paul affirms to be living. That was one thing that man got from Paul, was that Jesus was alive. Colin Mowat was out walking for the gospel last week, and he spoke to two young girls, and he told them that Jesus isn't real. That's what they said. Jesus isn't real. How solemn. You know, there's a generation growing up who know nothing about the Lord Jesus, who know nothing about the Bible, whose parents have no faith. Is God going to be defeated? Not a bit of it. The gospel is streaming out tonight. The gospel is going out to whosoever will. Saviour is coming for all who believe. What a hope we have as Christians. Well, the cross of Christ stands between the believer and the world. If you're a believer in Jesus, and I hope you are, what does the cross mean to you? Paul says, far be the thought that I should boast, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. It's not for me to tell you what the things of the world are. You know what they are. But the cross stands between the believer and the world. Just remember, it's the place where Christ was crucified. Nothing has changed. There's no room at the inn. There was no room in the dome. There's no room for Christ in the world. He's been ridden out of the school. He's been ridden out of government. He's been ridden out of every area of life. The name of Jesus. But it will never die. Never. It's everywhere. Man can't avoid it. The name of Jesus. How precious it is. Let us see that we have a living link with this person. And let us see the practical effect of the cross of Christ on my life as a Christian, for his name's sake.